Join me in Matthew 18, please. Matthew 18, verse 15. Please hear the reading of God's holy, inerrant, inspired word. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Between you and him alone, if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. This text that I have just read to you is pretty familiar to many in the leadership of the church. These are the steps, if you can call them that, the biblical steps for resolving differences for those in the church. Just as I pointed out to the children, there are some common sense things that we have been taught to do. But biblically, here are the technical, prescribed, Holy Spirit-given steps that we are to do, follow, when resolving differences between believers within the church. Also, what we are speaking of here this morning is discipline. Discipline. The scriptures tell us first from Proverbs, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. I love a writer that's straight to the point. From Hebrews, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, daughters of course. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Please notice the reason for discipline. Please notice the reason for clearing up differences. The writer to the Hebrews says, for the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. It is for love that we discipline. Now, in our culture today, depending on what circles you term discipline, this word has become a bad word. Misunderstood action. It's as though there are those who believe that there is no one who should be able to tell me what is right or wrong. There's no one who should tell me that what I am doing or what I am thinking is wrong. Who are you to tell me what to do? What authority do you have? What gives you to thinking that what you do is right and what I do is wrong? See, in this world of teaching that truth is subjective, has given birth to this kind of thinking. If there is no objective truth, then surely one truth cannot stand among or above another. We have also become afraid to discipline our children, because, as some famous doctor years ago taught, discipline may leave emotional scars that the child will live with all their life. Well, if that popular author, doctor, had read the Bible, the instruction would have been quite different. Discipline is necessary. And above all, discipline is done, as I've pointed out, because we love. And we must understand, first and foremost, that discipline begins in a positive nature. I think this is a point that's not said often enough. Discipline begins in the positive nature. What we're doing right now is a form of discipline. Teaching, preaching, giving information that through the work of the Spirit in this preaching context, changes affect the behavior, the actions, the thinking. All right, that's disciplining. When you stand before your class and teach and instruct, you're teaching that child a pattern of thinking that brings them into a form of discipline. When you teach your child how to ride a bicycle, how to form letters, how to read, you're teaching, you're disciplining them towards a means and ways of thinking. All of that's positive. Discipline gets a bad rap because we only think of it in the negative. Discipline begins in the positive. Certainly, discipline has its negative reinforcements. But let us begin with a positive. From the AARP Church's Book of Discipline, we read this. The basis of all church discipline is the free love of God in Christ expressed in both mercy and in judgment. The purpose of discipline is to bring about reconciliation between man and God, the created and the creator, but also between the created, just as I pointed out to the children. The purpose of discipline is to engage the people of God in the ministry of reconciliation and to promote the peace, purity, and prosperity of the church. Hear this. Christian discipline is discipleship. The disciples of Christ. Why were they called disciples? Why were those 12 men called disciples? Because Jesus was disciplining them. And most of his discipline toward them was very positive, teaching. Now, there were times, especially with Peter, that there was a negative aspect to it. But they're called disciples because they were being disciplined to become like the Christ. Now, before we dig in, let's set the context of this passage, because so many times we come to Matthew 18:15 and we quote this passage and we don't understand or take into consideration the full broad scope of context. Up to this point in chapter 18, Jesus has been teaching against being a stumbling block. Remember last week's sermon, I asked you the question, are you a stepping stone or are you a stumbling block? Are you helping someone in their journey toward Christ or are you prohibited? Are you a distraction? Jesus is saying, don't be a distraction. Don't be one that's a stumbling block. Verse 6, he said, whoever causes one of these little ones to sin, that's a stumbling block. Verse 7, he said, woe to the world for the temptation to sin. If you're causing someone to sin, you're being a stumbling block. Verse 10, see that you do not despise one of the little ones. Do not look down upon those of lesser knowledge, lesser experience, lesser growth in the faith. These are warnings not to cause another one to sin. Now, as I said at the outset, this also includes simple disagreements, actions, or statements that can break the peace and purity of the church. So Jesus is giving Matthew 18:15 against that backdrop. Now, let's look at this more particularly. Doug, do you still have the text that you can put it up here? Matthew 18:15, because we're going to walk through this very literally. Verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Could it be more clear? If someone does something that causes you to sin, go to them and say, brother, sister, we need to talk. Don't go to someone else and say, would you go speak to so-and-so for me? That's not what it says. The writer goes on, if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Sister, if she listens to you, you have gained your sister. Now, I know there are many of you in this room who have followed that step exactly. And your relationship with that one that you went to or who came to you is stronger today than it was before the event. I can just about assure you. All right, moving on. Verse 16. But if he or she does not listen, take one or two others along with you that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Now, this is Old Testament teaching here coming into Jesus' teaching. Before you could bring a charge against another person, you had to have at least two witnesses. You could not bring a charge against a person on your own. There had to be another evidence of the wrongdoing. And so here Jesus is saying the same thing. If the two of you could not get it worked out, then go get a brother and say, you and I, let me tell you something. He says, yes, I understand, and I can be a testimony of that evidence. Then the two of us go and try to clear up this issue between a brother or between sisters. Verse 17. Here's where it gets tough. If he, she, refuses to listen to them, meaning you and the witnesses of which you have brought along with you, if they refuse to listen, tell it to the church. Folks, typically this is where the process breaks down. This is usually where it falls. Because this is incredibly, incredibly difficult to do. Now, let's define clearly. Well, let's define as best we can what the author is saying, what Matthew is saying, when it says, tell it to the church. Yes, it is true that we are to tell it to the church, but what aspect of church? If it's a public wrongdoing that affects a global context, the congregation as a whole, then I think it would be very, very adequate and proper and right for that individual to be stood right here before the congregation and that sin to be pronounced. However, if the disagreement, if the sin is more private in nature, then I think telling it to the church would mean the session. Because sometimes bringing things out here causes more damage than what we are trying to correct. That is where the wisdom of the session comes into play to direct the activities of the members of the church. And then if we come to the church, come to the session, and the individual responds, yes, you all are correct, I repent, I confess, lead me through reconciliation, then the matter takes that very private path. But listen to the writer. If the person refuses, finishing out verse 17, and if he, she refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. How did the first century Jewish person regard a Gentile? Unclean. Depraved. Outside the community. Not one to be in relationship with at all. Tax collector. How did the first century Jewish person refer to a tax collector? A thief. A betrayer. One who was making money off of my work. One who had betrayed the community. So if we go through this process and the individual still will not listen, we tell it to the church, they will not listen, then how are we to regard that person? Outside the community. And folks, this is the hardest thing in the world for a Christian brother, a Christian sister to do to another. But if this has been followed to the T and led and guided by the work of the Holy Spirit. And we come to that place where it says, let me regard that person as a Gentile or a tax collector. That is what I must do. Because that person being turned out then has to face the Lord Jesus Christ as one who has been turned out of the local church. And as Paul teaches, Paul actually says, you give them over to Satan so that they can be taught. There are three aspects of a true church. Three aspects of a true church. Biblical preaching, the recognition, practice of the sacraments, and discipline. The first two we can do pretty easily. Not well, some don't. First two we can get. That third one. But folks, if we are going to be a true church, then it requires discipline. And please understand, discipline begins in the positive. It begins through teaching. It begins through prayer. It begins through preaching. It begins through mentoring. It begins through instruction. It begins through loving each other and caring for each other. And if something happens to begin to bring about a disagreement, seek to clear it quickly. And if you need to bring someone with you after you've spoken to them, do it. Are those things hard? Yes. I've been involved in several discipline cases, and they are extraordinarily difficult. But why do we do it? Because we love. Why do you discipline your children? Because you love them. You don't want the behavior to continue, so you change it through discipline. First, through positive teaching, positive reinforcements. But like my mama used to say, Timmy, a little more negative. Why? Because we love. Now, discipline, it is necessary in the church. Discipline is necessary in any congregation, any group of people, any team where two people are working together, even self. Discipline is necessary. But it is also necessary for it to be done biblically. Not out of revenge, not out of hatred, not out of retribution, not out of, I'll show him. No, it's done out of love. There's always going to be temptations. There's always going to be some level of disagreements between persons. And if those disagreements are left unattended, that's sin. Every one of you in this church who are members of this church in this denomination, you took a vow that you would maintain the peace, purity, and prosperity of this church. Every one of us. If that peace is broken by a disagreement, we must fix it. If the purity of this church is broken by the person sitting on this side not getting along with the person sitting on this side, we're in sin. If the prosperity of this church is being held back by the Holy Spirit because we just can't get along, then that's sin. And the scriptures are very clear. If a brother causes you to sin, if a sister causes you to sin, go to them. Be like Shire said, apologize. Because we love. Hebrews 12 teaches us, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves. Oh Lord, you must love me a lot. We discipline because we love. We teach our children, we discipline them because we love them. We go to our brothers when there's a difference because we love them. We clear the disagreements, we clear the hurt feelings because we love. I'm going to close with a song today that we have sang often. It has almost become the theme song, if you would, for New Sterling. We sang it several Sundays ago. We sang it on Sunday night 2 weeks ago. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Will they know we are Christians by the way we discipline? Will they know that we are Christians by the way we love each other enough to say, brother, it's something we need to talk about? I appreciate it so much. And some of you have had opportunity to come to me and say, Pastor Tim, we need to talk. And we've done that. And as I've said, some of you I know from experience and know from related stories. Some have come to you. You have gone to others and said, sister, brother, we need to talk. And am I not correct that the relationship is stronger after? You've gained your brother. You've gained your sister. Just like the scripture says.